Okay. So we're in 1 Samuel, and we're still in the 25th verse, I mean chapter. And we're talking about David last week. He and his men were hungry. A wealthy guy named Nabal was having a feast. Now understand that when they have feasts, And the Bible said it was like the feast for a king. They have a lot of leftover food and just, you know, extra. So David, who his men had been protecting Nabal's shepherds and their livestock when they were in the territory David and his 600 men were, they looked out for them, made sure that they were missing nothing and that nobody bothered them, because the life of a shepherd, we talked about last week, can get a little perilous, because normally you're out there, and you're out there with not too many people, and robbers and evildoers and wicked men can come along and cause you a lot of harm, take your sheep, you know, take advantage of you. And David, remember, David started out as a shepherd. That's something that we want to always remember, is don't forget where you came from. Don't forget the hard times that you faced and how somebody maybe was there for you.
Amen.
And even if somebody wasn't, remember how much it would have meant to you if someone had been.
Amen.
So as we, you know, pass certain trials in life and we get past certain points, we need not forget. And this applies on several levels. It's not just a trial, for example, like, oh, I remember when I was poor and somebody helped me, or I remember, you know, I'm talking about trials that, what about when you... Can you remember that?
You went blank.
Yeah, my card. Okay, can you hear me?
Yep, we hear you fine.
Okay, good. Thank you. We need to remember all of our trials, just as David remembered when he was just a boy out there watching the sheep. And he was vulnerable, and he ran into bears and lions, and, you know, he had his challenges out there. So I'm going to challenge us to try to remember when we're being very hard on young people, those of us who are not young that are on this call, try to remember what it was like to be young.
Yeah.
Try to remember what it was like to be a teenager, how confusing it was, how unsure of yourself you are. How much you think that you're grown when you're not. The things that your mind was on at a certain age. Because that'll help you have compassion when you're dealing with young people, if you can remember what it was like to be young. Don't be so ready to forget just because you've passed that point. Now, David has now become not just a musician, but a great warrior. But when he saw those shepherds out there, it reminded him of what it was like to be one. So he had his men protect these guys. Well, now the owner of those shepherds and all the sheep is having this big feast. David says, hey, can we have some of your leftovers? Our men are hungry, if you don't mind. And Nabal sends back a really nasty message to David that says, hey, I don't even know who you are. What do you mean? Who's David, son of Jesse, anyway? Why should I facilitate you and your men? And he was just very, very unkind. And it stirred up David. Now it's not about the food, is it? Now it's about that you insulted me for no reason when we spent a lot of time helping you. We didn't ask you for anything. We just helped you because we could see the situation your men were in. So David gets, oh, that's it. And he's on a roll. He's going to wipe out Nabal's entire servants and everyone, every male. But Abigail, Nabal's wife, gets wind of what's coming, and she immediately goes to David in wisdom and turns things around. So she speaks to David in a very humble manner. What does she do? I want to remind us. She reminds David of who David is, even though David isn't that right this minute.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever found yourself in a situation like that?
Mm-hmm.
Where you see somebody acting completely out of pocket or out of character, and you remind them, hey, you're not really that kind of person. That's not who you really are. You've never been that kind of person. And it calmed the person down.
Mm-hmm.
I've certainly run into that. I'm going to say something else. It works also when you do that in prayer with God. Remind God of his character. Not that God has forgotten. But when you remind him of his character, you're standing on who he says he is.
Mm.
He's very responsive to that. Your grace is ever flowing. Your mercy endures forever. And I'm asking for grace in this situation. I'm asking for mercy in this situation. And you are merciful, O Lord. And you said you would never run out of mercy. Lord's very responsive. People sometimes appreciate being acknowledged for who they are. And in David's case, it turned him around. It diffused his wrath. Let us be people that speak peace to other people when they're in an uproar. We don't add fire or kindle to the fire.
Amen.
Don't jump in there and make bad worse. Speak peace.
Yeah.
Blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be what? Called the children of God.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do, bring peace.
Yeah.
Well, we're on verse, what ended up happening is Abigail waited till the party was over, and she tells her husband what happened after his drunk wears off. So the next morning, he ends up having what we would call a stroke. The Bible says his body turned to stone, and then he died 10 days later, and that's the end of Nabal. Now, verse 39, Alexandra, if you'd start there.
Verse 39. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his head." Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, "I am your servant, and am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my Lord's servants." Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her 5 female servants, went to the David's messengers and became his wife. David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter, Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Lash, who was from Gilead. Amen.
Okay, what's going on there? So David, now, the way that this reads, it sounds like, oh, wow, Nabal's dead. Go get Abigail.
Right.
It wasn't instant. It wasn't like the day after. Time had passed. As you research that, you'll see that. Some time passed, and then he sent for Abigail. And that was an honor for her to be David's wife.
And I could tell.
She's going to be the wife of the king, which means her children will be blessed and all of what comes with being an offspring of a king. She's entering into a line of kingship. She doesn't hesitate when she sees opportunity, by the way. Now, Saul had given Michal. Remember the first wife of David was Michal, and she loved him.
Right.
She loved David greatly. She's the one who helped him get escape.
Mm-hmm.
But Saul gives that wife, his daughter, to somebody else after she had already been David's wife. And the reason for this was to break all ties with David's family and David's dynasty to come. See, Saul could see that David is definitely the anointed one. We've heard him confess it, haven't we?
Yes.
But what David is, what Saul is trying to do is cut off all ties. Remember, Saul's the first king of Israel, so the next king should come from his line or lineage. And right. David would be available for that as the son-in-law of Saul. But Saul said, oh, no, we're going to cut this thing all the way off, and I'm going to give his wife to somebody else. Can you hear the total disregard for Michal in this?
Yeah.
He was using her to start with and then now gives her away to somebody else. Of course, David's going to address this a little later, just so you know. Okay, verse chapter 26.
The Ziphites went to Saul at Gibeah and said, is not David hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which faces Jeshimon? So Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with his 3,000 select Israelite troops to search there for David. Saul made his camp beside the road of the hill of Hakilah, facing Jeshimon. But David stayed in the wilderness. When he saw that Saul had followed him there, he sent out scouts and learned that Saul had definitely arrived. Then,
let's stop there for 1 second. 1 second. We just told this story in, I think, chapter 23. We just had the Ziphites, and remember, David inquired of the Lord, are they going to turn me over to Saul? And the answer was yes. Just so you know, these are the same people again.
Wow.
Now, how many times do we say, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them?
Oh, amen. Amen.
These are the same people who gave word to Saul that David was among them just two chapters ago. And here they are again doing the same thing. Oh, did I mention these are the same people that David came out of his stronghold to help because they were being persecuted by the Philistines?
Okay.
But it hasn't changed their heart one iota. Now David is back there again, and they're doing the same thing. So this story is going to sound very similar, and there are people that will say, this is the same account, just mentioned twice. It is not the same account. This actually happened twice. Okay, go again.
Okay. Then David set out and went to the place where Saul had camped. He saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of the army, had lain down. Saul was lying inside the camp, with the army encamped around him. David then asked Ahimelech and the Hittite and the Abish, son of Zerai, Jabin's brother, who will go down into the camp with me to see Saul? I'll go with you, said Abisha. So David and Abisha went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abisha said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice. But David said to Abisha, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him on his time, will come, and he will die. Or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that. I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head, and let's go. So David took the spear and the water jug near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. Then David crossed over.
Stop there. Isn't this amazing? Now David is being faced. We also will find that we are faced with a similar or the same trial more than once. Just because you were victorious the first time doesn't mean you'd be victorious the second time. And just because you failed the first time doesn't mean that you'll fail the second time.
Mm-hmm.
David is being faced with the same temptation again. You can kill Saul right now and make short work of this.
Mm-hmm.
He has been running from Saul, has no rest, no place to lay his head, and he's got an opportunity again to take Saul out. His men say, take it out. Often the people around you are going to give you advice contrary to God's word.
Mm.
I don't care if they love you, they care about you, or and you know, well, they mean me best, so their advice must be coming from a good place, and maybe God is talking through them. If their counsel is not godly counsel, it's not coming from God.
Mm.
It can be coming from well-meaning friends, but that doesn't mean that a well-meaning friend knows better than God.
Amen. Amen.
As children of the living God, you have to recognize this. Recognize when someone close to you is giving you ill advice.
Mm-hmm.
And then stand against it. You got to stand against it. I know that these men, not only did these men, you know, mean David well, they're trusting him for their leadership, but they're running too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I can see where their advice would be, hey, you know what? Can we put an end to this, David? Because I'm running just like you're running. I'm out here fighting just like you're fighting. I'm protecting you. And here's an opportunity to turn this thing around. And God has delivered this man, Saul, into your hands. But yet, David does the right thing yet again. After he had been strengthened, by the way, by Saul's son. Jonathan had come. Remember we talked about Jonathan had come and strengthened him in the right way. Reminded him who he was. Reminded him that, you know, you're going to be the next king, David. You are. Even my dad knows it. Strengthened him.
Right.
So God, he was given what he needed to know or to pass this temptation. Even though it looks like this is the way, it's the easy way out, kill him now, he made the right decision. Richard?
Which brings about a question, then. I guess you kind of answered it. How do you know when you see that a circumstance that you're dealing with and it just seems to go on and on and on, and then all of a sudden you can see the end at front and someone comes at with you going through that and they can tell you, well, this is it. How do you know that's not godly wisdom? How do you know that it is ungodly, and how do you know how do you make the right choice?
Well, for David, David says, I am not going to raise up my hand against someone that God has anointed.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go any further than that to look for godly wisdom. If God anointed Saul, what does he say? If God brought him up, let God take him out.
Amen.
When we go to avenge ourselves, we already are crossing a line because he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay.
Mm-hmm.
David knows God like this. He knows that it would be an offense to raise his hand against the anointed one and a fleece. And sometimes we've been in those situations too,
mm-hmm.
where we felt like we could, you know, say something or do something that would avenge ourselves. But God says, how about you let me handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Our battles are not fought with our fists or a weapon. Our battles are fought on our knees.
Amen. Amen.
This is something David clearly understands in the depth of his soul. If God sends me against Hittites or Jebusites or I'm, you know, saving Israel, and God says, go, God is with me. But I did not hear God say, kill Saul.
Right.
And the devil is very good at lining up all kinds of circumstances that make sin look like it has to be God.
Amen.
God, I needed this money, and I ran up on this wallet, and I was short $500 on my rent, and the wallet had $500 in it. That's God. And then somebody says, well, did it have a license in it, a name, an address. Yeah,
oh,
but God did this. God did this. God made a way for me. I needed $500, and here was this wallet sitting in the parking lot. And then somebody says, well, that sounds like a miracle and all, but doesn't sound like it belongs to you. That's somebody's wallet. It's got their ID and everything else in it.
Oh, Lord.
You see how the devil can set you up and you can turn around and run with it and say, God just gave me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
I am a person who I shed everywhere I go. No matter where I go, I'm going to forget and leave something. Whether it's my purse, whether it's my wallet, whether it's my whether it's my hat, whether it's my coat, whether it's ridiculous. I can never walk out of a place clean. I got to go back and find out what I left. One day, and this is just one of a bazillion stories, one day, being a hairdresser for many years, we get a lot of cash, and I had all this cash in my pocket, right, stuffed in my pocket. And I went to some restaurant, had dinner, and when I came out the restaurant, apparently $700 fell in the parking lot in cash, scattered all over Black Angus's parking lot.
Oh, God.
I did not realize the money and the check was gone until a couple of days later I was short. I said, I thought I had some. Where's that money? So think of all the people that walked the same path in the parking lot and was stepping on all that money. You know, it wasn't going to take long for someone to pick it up, right?
Right.
How about the Lord blinded everyone that left that restaurant after me to all that money scattered in the parking lot? Finally, a waitress, when her shift was finally over and the restaurant is closed, she came out and saw all the money in the parking lot, even the check. And she gathered it up carefully, went back to her manager and said, somebody dropped a bunch of cash in the mail in the parking lot, and there's also a check with it. I don't know what to do because it's cash. So she could have easily said, you know, lottery day, I won, right?
Yes.
But instead she gave it to her manager. A couple of days later when I realized the money was gone, I called on a Saturday and I said, did I leave? I think I left a lot of money and a check in my booth. And the guy says, really? He said, would you happen to be a hairdresser? I said, I am. He said, because I used to date a hairdresser and she used to do the same thing.
Oh.
Then he said, how much money was it? I said, exactly $700. I said, but there was a check with it. He said, who was the check from? And I said, the check was from Joy Bryant. And he said, come pick it up. Our waitress found it in the parking lot and put it away for you.
Look at God.
Look at God. But you know what that was? It was a testimony to me to not make somebody else's carelessness or misfortune my fortune.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I had found $700 in a parking lot prior to that and one little lazy check with it, would I have gone through the effort to put it away or try to find the owner of, you know, I don't know. But from that day forth, you better believe I would. Better believe I would.
Yes.
So David is saying God is able and God is capable of taking out Saul if Saul needs to be taken out. That's not for my hand to do. When you feel like avenging yourself, put them in the hands of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
So David took the spear and water jug near. Oh, we got past that. 13, I'm sorry. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood on top of the hill some distance away. There was a wide space between them. He called out to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, aren't you going to answer me, Abner? Abner replied, Who are you who calls to the king? David said, you're a man, aren't you? Thank you, in Israel. Why didn't you guard your lord, the king? Someone came to destroy your lord, the king. What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men must die, because you did not guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and water jug that were near his head? Saul recognized David's voice and said, is that your voice, David, my son? David replied, yes, it is, my lord, the king. And he added, why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done, and what wrong am I guilty of? Now let my lord the king listen to his servant's words. If the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, people have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have driven me today from my share in the Lord's inheritance and have said, go so serve other gods. Now, do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea, as one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. Because you considered my life precious today, I will not try to harm you again. Sure. Surely I have acted like a fool and been there, done that. Sure, I didn't hear this before. Surely I have acted like a fool and have been terribly wrong. Here is the king's spear, David answered. Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards. Yes.
Stop there. Once again, we have a repeat of what happened a couple of chapters ago. And here we have Saul's remorse again. Here we have Saul saying the same thing. Oh, I've sinned. Oh, David, my son, I'm so sorry. Come home. I'm not going to pursue you anymore. But, of course, at least David has definitely put that together. We're going to take a little jump. And just because I feel like it's important that we know, where was David's head in all of this? What was David thinking? What was David feeling when all this was going on? And we're going to jump over to Psalms 54.
Okay, that's Tammy. Okay, Psalm 54.
Yeah.
And this is when David was being pursued. This is when these enemies had turned enemies. So I want you to read Psalm 54. And this is what's going on in David's heart. Somewhere in the caves and the different places that he was running to, he would take the time and he would write songs. These are songs of David. That's what Psalms is. And they're songs that David wrote in his perilous moments. I encourage you sometimes when you're going through tough times, if you like to write it all, journal it. Because it'll be a blessing to you when you look back and see what God has done. And it'll also be a blessing to someone who may read it along the way. Okay, Tammy, please read.
Okay. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes.
This is a model prayer when you are in despair or you're in the middle of a trial. She's talking about the oppressors and that they were foreigners, strangers. These are the at the beginning of that passage before she read, it says, to the chief musician with stringed instruments. When the Zephites went and said to Saul, is David not hiding with us? This is when this very instant that we just read about occurred. This is what David was writing. This is what he was thinking. And he's asking the Lord to vindicate him, to deliver him, to give ear to him, to hear me, O Lord. Strangers have risen up against me. Oppressors have sought after my life. And then he asked the Lord to take care of it for me. Take care of it for me. Do you know that this is the same David who could sneak in and kill 200 Philistines and bring back their foreskins? He could have wiped out their Zephites just for being jerks.
Yeah.
But instead he's asking the Lord to fight my battle, to vindicate him. He's wondering, why are strangers, you know, why are they oppressing me? Why is this even going on? But when we're going through a wilderness, there's a lot that we just don't see.
Right.
Obviously, the Zephites were more interested in being in good standing with Saul than they were faithful to David for having rescued them. But to David, it's all the same. It's everywhere I go, every step, every place I lay my foot, my head to rest, I'm being persecuted. There are times that we feel that way. Okay, we're going to go back to David. And when you go to Psalms, I mean back to Samuel, when you go to Psalms, a lot of times you'll find prayers that just kind of fit your need. Even if it's just a segment of the prayer that fits your need. So these songs that David wrote, wow, who would think that a warrior like David would also be a songwriter? Kind of doesn't fit, does it?
No.
Yeah.
But God had uniquely made David, and wow, what a blessing. He was a he was a musician and a songwriter and a warrior and a king and a shepherd.
True.
Multiply talented. Okay. Go back.
All right. So we are at verse 23. The Lord rewards everyone for their righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. As surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble. Then Saul said to David, may you be blessed, David, my son. You will do great things and surely triumph. So David went on his way, and Saul returned home. Amen.
Amen. This is what I need for us to remember and to see. And Jesus said it so very clearly. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. As David was sparing Saul's life, David was saying, and I pray that therefore my life will be saved also. What we put out, where we give grace, will be granted grace. It's so important that we be gracious when we have an opportunity, because there's nobody on this call that doesn't need God's grace in their life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Whether it just is from what life can throw your way, which is fair. I can't stand it when I'm hearing that this isn't fair. This isn't fair. Life is what life is. This is a wilderness. This is a place under the regime of the Prince of Darkness. So why are we talking about, well, that wasn't fair, that shouldn't have happened to me? I have this chiropractor I was seeing, and this is the second time she said it. She goes, oh, you don't deserve to be in pain. You're such a beautiful lady. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. And I know what that is. I said, I deserve a whole lot worse, and that's what I told her. I said, if I'm paying for my sins, I deserve a whole lot worse. Who would I be to be exempt pain here on earth when this is what is earth is about?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. It's that's what was caused from the fall in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So are we supposed to expect that no harm, danger, tribulation, trial, pain, or suffering should come into our lives? Oh, well, I'm a child of God. That shouldn't come into my life. Did he ever say that?
No.
No.
Don't remember him saying that. What I remember him saying is, I will be with you through these things.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, and he will help you.
Yes.
He is called the Helper. Helper. Help. Why would we need help if we were not going to face these things?
Mm-hmm.
So if we know that we've got to face trial and tribulation, number one, we shouldn't particularly whine too heavily about it. Because anything that comes our way, we're sinful beings. We need grace and we need mercy. And that's what you'll find in the Psalms over and over.
Amen.
David asking for grace. But when he's asking for grace, we also have to be willing to give grace.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
many times have I seen people that are children of God mess up when it comes to giving grace?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the first thing they want to do is condemn. Yeah, well, they're going straight to hell. Yeah, well, they need to go straight to hell. Well, they this, they that. Hey, every one of on this call deserves to go straight to hell.
Amen.
Every one of us. Because the wages of sin is death, and there is nobody on this call that has not participated in sin at some point.
Amen.
Amen.
And usually you don't have to go looking back, yeah, well, when I was about 12, I stole bubblegum. That's true. How about 5 minutes ago when your thoughts were not corrected against somebody that you don't even know?
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, I looked at that person. I know they're this or they're that. You don't know nothing. You're just sitting there judging people and condemning people. Give grace. Give grace when it's hard to give grace. You think it was easy for Jesus to go and pay the price for us? As he sat there in Gethsemane, he was sweating bullets. It was as if it was blood drops that was so thick. This was not easy for him to do on our behalf. So the least we can do is the grace extended to us, extended for crying out loud to somebody else who needs it.
Amen.
Somebody falls, help them up.
Amen.
Don't say, well, they did it. They did it. They've done this like several times.
Yeah.
So I'm not helping. How many times have you fallen and God picked you up?
Amen.
Amen.
How many sins has he forgiven of yours?
Thank you, Father.
I could not count the sin in my life. I cannot count how many times I get mad and say something under my breath. Nobody heard it, but God did.
Yes, he has.
We have to be quick to extend grace and mercy and extend it every time. You know, when you have an opportunity to extend grace and mercy to somebody, it's an opportunity to extend grace and mercy to yourself.
Amen.
Because you're going to be allotted grace and mercy in the same amounts that you were willing to give it. Be quick to be gracious.
Yes, Lord.
Be quick to be merciful.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody owes you some money. Offer them as much grace as you can.
Yes.
Now, if it's a situation where it's just, you know, causing you hardship, they need to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
But still, where you can, offer grace.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got plenty right now and they owe you some money and they're not doing what they ought to do and they're trying to take you for a ride, be as gracious as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because we called ourselves taking God for a ride.
Mm.
Oh, what? We've prayed for something. We've asked God for something, and God has met the need. And then we go off and act like, I'll talk to you when I run out again.
Yes, Lord. Okay, let's talk.
David offered Saul grace and mercy. David is going to need it. As we go through this, the book of Samuel and 2 Samuel, you're going to see David's going to need some grace and mercy of his own.
I got to tell you, that's powerful. Very powerful.
Yeah, it really is. Yes.
We have to remind ourselves of that all the time. Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I want to encourage saints of God to just kind of get the judgment out of the way. If you've got a choice, judge the person or offer grace and mercy. Offer grace and mercy.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
It's so important because we're sure going to need it. When we stand before the throne of judgment, all of this is going to be revealed, and you're going to say, whoa, you kept track of all that? And the Lord's going to say, but it was wiped out. But in this area, you showed no mercy. You showed no grace. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I'm not anxious to go to court.
Come on now.
But since he's given us a way to attain more mercy and more grace, take advantage of it every time you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be merciful, be gracious. So we're going to go right from that into communion.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Because I can't help but imagine my Lord, who is going to pay such a great price for us to have grace and mercy.
Yes.
All of us were condemned to death.
Yes, we were.
All of us are condemned to be separated from God forever because of our sin nature that we cannot overcome on our own.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
So now, out of heaven, out of heaven, comes the Son of God who says, I will inhabit an earthly body and deal with the prince of this darkness on this earth that we created, me and my dad. And I'm going to go and become one of them because it's the only way.
Yes.
It's the only way that this whole species that we created in our image can be saved.
Thank you, Paul.
So here he comes. He lives a normal life sinlessly. Age 30, he comes into his ministry. He's walking around. He's healing the sick. He's opening the blind eyes. He's bringing hope. Hope and healing. Healing and hope.
Yes.
He's teaching us another way. He's establishing a new covenant. Okay, this covenant that we've had isn't working. With the kill the bulls, kill the sheep, kill the doves, it's not working. These people will never, ever be able to get it right.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to come out of heaven, and I'm going to make this happen for them. I will have to be the lamb. I will have to be the one sacrificed. And this is not coming cheaply. I was in heaven, mind you. I'm going to leave the comfort of the presence of my Father. And I'm going to become that lamb for you.
Ooh, hallelujah.
All I'm asking you to do now is treat one another with love.
Yes.
Be kind. Treat your neighbor. Love one another as I have loved you. I'm asking you to do what I'm willing to do. Now, that's going to come at a sacrifice, isn't it? Isn't loving some people very difficult?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It can be difficult.
Yes.
But I did it, and I'm asking you to do it. Are you greater than me? That there should be no price to you? And I'm making the price pretty easy. Because if you don't feel love for this person that you need to extend grace to, you don't have to feel it. I mean, even take that off the table. Just do it.
Just do it.
Don't wait till you feel it, because you probably won't. I wasn't exactly feeling Judas when he was in Gethsemane. I doubt that the Lord was feeling an overwhelming sense of love as they were beating him to death. But he just did it. So here he is willing to pay the price for us. Let's expand today and be a little bit more willing to pay a price for somebody else.
Yes, amen.
And the only way we can do that, because Jesus has paid it all, but what we can do as instruments of his love, grace, and mercy is extend that to one another.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
When somebody has been on your toes, be quick to forgive.
Yes.
Because we need to be quick to forgive so we can be quickly forgiven.
Yes.
Good grief, if I fall, I don't want to be left there for months. Because the Father says, well, you fell again. So I'm just going to leave you there and let you think about it. You sit there and think about what you've done for months.
Oh my God.
That's not the God we serve.
Amen.
So be quick to let offenses go, people of the living God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So here our Lord and Savior is knowing that his time has come. It's the night, the last night. His disciples are arguing about dumb stuff. But Jesus is like, you guys don't get it. This is it for me. This is the end. The next time you see me, it'll be in a glorified body.
Yes.
But they couldn't get that. We're tied up here on earth like us. Worrying about this and worrying about that. Worried about politics. Who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? What's the Lord's kingdom going to look like? It's not here on earth, dude. It's not. You're not going to become a senator. You're not. Wait, what? Not a senator? Wait a minute. Are we even following the right person? Well, while they're doing all that, Jesus is preparing to die.
Yeah.
So what happens? He breaks the bread. He gives us something that we can do that will help us through, that will strengthen supernaturally the spirit within you, that will make you part of him and his suffering and his resurrection. When we participate in the bread which was broken for us, we are participating in his death, but also in his life.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So he took the bread, he said, take it and eat it. This is my body, which will be broken for you. As often as you do this, remember the cost.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
This is about grace and mercy. Remember the cost.
Thank you.
Yes, Father.
It cost me humiliation, bloodshed, leaving heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Separation from my Father. I've never been separated from the Father, but he was separated from the Father when all our sin was laid on him. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was suddenly separated from God, covered in our crap. And our sin can't be in God's presence. So God had to turn from his own Son. All of this for us and our mess.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
So he said, take this bread and eat it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And then he took the cup. And he said, this represents the blood. Whew, the blood
Hallelujah.
The blood that washes us. That makes our sin go away. Because his blood was pure. And it washed away our impurities. So we say, Lord, see us through the blood.
Please, Father.
He said, take this and drink it. This represents the blood. The blood of what? The blood of the new promise.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The blood of the new covenant. We have a new agreement now between us. This blood will represent that.
Yes.
When you partake in this covenant, when you partake in this blood, when you take part in this, what would you call it, a practice, you're acknowledging that the blood washed you.
Yes.
You're acknowledging that the blood shed was for you.
Yes.
And you're receiving it.
Yes, Lord.
You're receiving the antidote to sin.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's the antidote. It's the serum. Mm.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
As often as you do this,
yes, Lord.
Remember what it costs.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Says the Lord.
Yes.
So we drink together. We participate in his death and his resurrection. We have the promise of resurrection, even though we are not going to live a perfect life.
Yes.
We have the promise of resurrection.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because of his grace,
thank
his
you,
mercy, and his obedience.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
What does he ask us to do? Extend it to other people.
Yes.
Extend it to other people. You're not good at anything else. You guys can't even manage the simplest things. You can't even keep the top 10. So we're going to take all of that off the table, and we're going to create a new promise.
Yes.
You want to participate in the new promise, the new covenant between God and us?
I do.
Yes,
Lord.
Take and drink.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Before we close, I want to lift up some people that are in need of prayer.
Yes, sir.
So whatever is your prayer request, now's a good time. We have Linda on the call. We want to hold her up.
Yes.
Linda, do you want to tell us what it is specifically or not so? Just what do you want us to pray for?
X knows. She can explain it for me.
Okay.
Linda lost her son several years ago. Linda was also homeless. For a while, and someone has taken her in. Amongst other things, she's asking to be delivered and to be healed, grace and mercy. She wants her own home, her own space. She feels as a slave, although this person has taken her in, things have changed. And she wants to walk closer with the Lord and be obedient of him. Those two things, three things I know specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I will come back to this, but dear Heavenly Father, specifically, Lord, I want to ask, I'm lifting up Linda before your throne of grace right this very moment,
Father.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm asking you, Lord, to first and foremost heal her heart from the loss of her child, Lord.
Yes.
Heal
yes, Lord.
Her heart, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, in Jesus Christ.
I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would strengthen Linda.
Yes.
And
Lord.
As you, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
He's
you,
lifting
Jesus.
You up.
Thank
as
you.
He lifts you.
Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You,
Jesus.
Thank,
thank
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank
as
you,
she
Father,
is in your presence this very moment, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I'm asking
yes,
you, Lord, to begin to loose her
thank
in every
you,
area
yes.
of her life that has her bound.
Yes, Father God. Yes, Lord.
I'm asking you, Lord, that as she is restored,
thank you, Jesus.
That she never lose sight of you.
Yes, Father.
That her walk become closer and closer, nor that she loses sight of what she's been through so she can help somebody else. In
Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ's name. Yes, hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Cheryl has a prayer request.
Oh, yes.
Cheryl wants prayer for whatever's going on, if it's his gallbladder, whatever it is. He needs healing throughout his entire body and strengthening in his spirit. Would somebody please volunteer to pray for Cheryl?
Dear Father, most heavenly God, your word says, by your stripes, Cheryl is healed.
Amen.
We have come together to stand on that, Father God, because you ask us to remind you of your word. We are right now pleading the blood that we just remembered over Terrell right now, Father God, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, Father God. We're coming together collectively to ask for supernatural healing, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Remove all sickness and disease from Terrell's body right now, Father God.
Yes, right now.
We're casting every demonic spirit of ill health away from his body, Father God. We're asking for restoration, mind, body, and spirit, because, Father God, we know that dis-ease brings disease, Father God. So heal his mind, heal his soul, and uplift his spirit, Father God. We are asking for that today, right now.
Right now.
In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're healed.
Amen.
You are healed.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Declare and decree healing for Terrell. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody else have a prayer request today that you'd like us to pray about?
Well, the word has put my mom to sleep, and she's snoring here, so I'm grateful all is well.
Amen.
Amen.
No distractions. That was beautiful.
Anybody
Thank
else?
You.
Any prayer requests? Any comments?
Yes,
how I'd about like you, sister? How about you, sister? Are you in
Who?
Need of prayer today? Who? You?
Me? Oh,
yes.
Of course I need healing.
Yes.
I need healing.
All right, let's do it. Somebody do that.
Heavenly
Tammy,
Father,
you want to pray for our sister? Thank you, Richard. Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just come today, Lord, because, Lord,
yes.
we're so thankful.
Thank
that, Lord,
you, Jesus.
You hear every thought, every word. You see every deed, you
Thank
see
you.
Everything that we do. Lord, we are so thankful
Thank you,
that your eyes is always upon us.
Yes,
and, Father,
Father,
we thank you for the word that we received today, the washing
Hallelujah.
Of the sin in our life by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Lord, your fresh anointing has fallen on us, Lord God.
Yes, thank you,
and,
Lord,
let not our enemy or our flesh rob us of that, Lord. Let not our circumstances snatch it from us, Father. But, Lord, let
Father,
us live
God.
In it, Lord. Let us trust in it, Lord God. Let us be obedient to it, Lord God. Oh, Father,
Father,
we thank you, Father. We need
you,
Holy Spirit, for you are our comforter. You are our healer, Lord God. You Jehovah Rapha. So, Lord, we just pray right now that you bring a healing to Jeanette, that, Lord, you would heal her body and soul and mind. We pray, Lord God, this day, Lord, that you, that shoulder and the neck, Lord, that's been painful, for seriously painful, beyond imagination. But, Lord, you knew it before Jeanette was born, Lord. Lord, will you bring a healing today? Will you bring a deliverance in that area in her life as well, Father? And, Lord, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you as the saints of God, your children together, touching, agreeing, and thanking you, Lord, for the healing in her body right now today. And then, Lord, I pray for Sister Linda, Lord, who had lost her son, Lord. The Lord, that you would give her relief from that, Lord. We never will
Father.
Forget, Father. Lord, it's painful at times when you remember what has happened. But, Lord, we know everything happens because, Lord, you permits it. It is either your permissive will or your perfect will. And, Lord, you have a plan in that, Lord God. Maybe this is something you're doing and you will do in Linda's life to help her along with others who may be going through something like this or may have experienced something, Father. But whatever it is, Lord, bring that peace into Linda's life. Bring that deliverance into her life. Bring that healing into her life. Bring, Lord God, what it is you have for her to be brought to the forefront to do your will, Lord God. For, Father, life is about you and not about us. So, Lord, please
Have your way today. Have your way today, for and Father, for those unspoken prayers, those that have needs and haven't said it, those that may be fearful or doubtful, that, Lord, I ask that you remove the doubt today, remove the fear today, for it's not of you, it's of our enemy, Satan, and all of his demonic forces. Lord, let your Holy Spirit kindle and renew and refresh and strengthen, Lord God, each soul on this call and every soul that would hear this call, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I'm going to lift up Tammy anyway. I lift up Tammy right now before you, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
I ask you, Lord, to fill her afresh today.
Yes,
I ask you, Lord, to help her with her struggles. You know what they are.
Yes, Father.
I ask you to be with her son wherever he is. I ask you to continue to extend grace and mercy in his
Hallelujah.
Life.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I ask you to give Tammy the hope and the joy that comes with knowing that's exactly what you're doing.
Yes,
Father. Yes. Yes, Jesus.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. How beautiful.
You guys have a wonderful day.
You too, and God bless you, Linda. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
The Bond family. I love you. Bye,
love
everyone.
You.
Bye.
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 Bye-bye.